from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
The Pentagon brings some common sense to the military. The Human Rights Campaign teams up with educators, and an Ohio student stands up to her school. That's all coming up on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. You know, we've often talked here on Washington Watch about how previous presidents have used the military as a place of social experimentation, compromising their effectiveness. On Thursday's edition of Washington Watch Live, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins talked with Missouri Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler about two recent moves by officials to bring some sanity to our military. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
It was good to see you on Capitol Hill today. Appreciate all that you do and your leadership role of the Values Action Team, which you lead on Capitol Hill. This obviously one of those issues, but it really crosses over into really multiple areas. Not only is this a values issue, but it's also an issue of national security, and you kind of led the charge on this back when this policy was initially put into place. Because it's a very costly distraction for our nation's military.
Oh, it really is. It was such a bad idea when readiness has been degraded over the last decade such that our competitors around the world, I guess we won't call them enemies, but there's a lot of countries that have advanced in their capabilities, and we need to modernize our armed services to make sure that we have the equipment that we need to meet any adversary, meet any contingency. And at the same time, then President Obama wanted to start spending our tax dollars to create soldiers that couldn't be deployed and couldn't fight. It just doesn't make sense. And so I was pleased that the president took these very common sense steps to move forward here with a military that is lethal, that is focused on winning wars and keeping us safe. The DOD, the Department of Defense, testified just a week or two ago that already under this policy, we have spent over $8 million of tax dollars on sex change operations for troops that President Obama allowed to come into our military, and as well as therapy. And once a person has a sex change operation, they can't even be deployed for over 200 days. It just doesn't make sense, especially when we look at the military being an entity that can be choosy about who comes in. I've had constituents before be turned down from military service due to other physical or mental issues such as asthma, flat feet, bunions. And so it makes sense to, you know, evaluate everyone and say, you know, is it a good idea to allow this person in when they have a medical condition that has been diagnosed, gender dysphoria, and potentially sex change operations that would take them out of the ability to be deployed and to actually fight for our nation?
Congresswoman Hartzler, you make a very good point, which I think those that have not served in the military may not be aware of, and that is there is no right to serve in our nation's military. The military is selective because it has a mission. It has one mission only. That is to fight and win wars, to keep America safe. And so you have high blood pressure. You have physical problems. In fact, there's been a lot of reports about how so much of the American population now that are of the age range of service are physically disqualified because they're out of shape and their health is so bad they can't serve. So the military is selective in who is allowed to serve, and you have to meet certain standards to do so. So this is not picking out any particular class of people. This is just saying we have a mission. You've got to be able to fit within the parameters of those who can perform this mission to serve.
Absolutely. Military service is a privilege. It's not a right. And it is predicated on the goal of winning the war and defeating the enemy. And it is selective because of that. It's a specialized mission. And we need everyone who comes into the military to be fit to serve, to be able, ready to serve, to not have health conditions that could preclude them from serving.
Now, I think, again, to put this in context, this was an 11th hour a decision by the Obama administration on their way out the door to put this, set this in place. It didn't actually go into effect fully during their administration. It was set to go off during the Trump administration. You raised the issue. You sounded the alarm over this when it was about to go into effect. The president finally looked at the implications of this, the cost, the fact that it made no sense, and that's when he changed the policy, and that was a year and a half ago. It's been challenged in the courts. Finally, it will at least be able to go into effect until it's completely adjudicated. But, you know, this is alarming to me that the commander-in-chief making a decision that is in the best interest of national security and those who serve, and by the way, just reversing what the previous administration did on their own, that somehow he does not have the authority to do that. It's mind-blowing to me.
It really is. The commander-in-chief has the authority to do that. And like you said, this did not go through Congress. We in the Armed Services Committee did not debate this. We did not vote for this huge change in personnel policy for our military. Just unilaterally, the president made this, President Obama and Secretary Ash Carter made this decision, made this huge sweeping change. And so it was certainly in the purview of this current commander-in-chief and president and defense secretary to be able to reverse that. And to call this discriminatory or that this isn't allowed is just isn't true, because it was instituted before and it can be reversed now. And I think it is based on fact. It's based on science. It's been based on the policy that we have had in this country until just a couple of years ago,
right.
Where you always focus on soldiers who can be deployed and spend that money on bullets, on armor, on new equipment, new airplanes, whatever we need to meet the threats.
Vicki, I want to play a clip. This is just so people know that this is not, and I know our listeners know this because this is a topic we've talked about with General Boykin and others, but retired Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff, who is a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research, was on Fox News talking about the president's policy. I want to play, it's a short clip, play clip four.
You cannot join the military if you're non-deployable. We have multiple thousands of medical issues that prevent people from enlistment. And if you're going to allow one group to come in and have surgeries and go through transition, what about other groups? What about other groups with cancer? What about those with high blood pressure? What about those maybe with flat feet? You're going to open the doors that if you allow one group to receive this special treatment, what about the other treatment? The needs of the military actually outweigh the needs of the individual. And that is a common practice in employment law. Discrimination in the military is very much based upon your mental, physical, and aptitude tests.
I mean, that's exactly what you were saying, Vicki.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad to hear her say that, because she is spot on. And people are trying to take the focus away from what this is really about, and that is we need every soldier to be able to be deployed. And we currently have the standards, and someone has to meet those standards, not only physical standards, but also mental standards. And there are a multitude of health conditions that preclude you from serving. Doesn't mean you're not a patriot. Doesn't mean you don't want to serve your country, but it doesn't mean that you should be accepted and taxpayers should invest dollars in you to train you, to try to equip you, when you may not even be able to be deployed and, you know, fulfill your mission. So this is the right move for our country. We can continue to invest the dollars where we need to rebuild our military. We need that, rebuild that readiness, modernize our troops so that we can meet the very real threats, whether that be from China, Russia, North Korea. There are plenty of threats. We are behind on many fronts, and we need those dollars to go meet the threats, not be wasted on surgeries of sex change operations.
I want to quickly, we're almost up against a break, but quickly, another topic that is in another issue in our nation's military that really was brought on by this social experimentation pushed by the Obama years is the attack on religious freedom and the expression. One of the most recent cases being Major General Kurt Sontag in the United States Army going after an Army chaplain for not doing same-sex marriage retreats because his religious ordination restricted him from doing that. it now appears that this tables have turned. This Army general is in hot water for the scrutiny that he came under. How concerned are you that this still exists in our nation's military?
Well, unfortunately, there are too many common examples of this, but it's something we've got to stand up to and make sure our religious freedoms are protected.
And that's one thing that you have a history of doing. And until this is rectified, and it's going to take a while, I think, to clean up from the previous administration, but we need to continue to keep a spotlight on this. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for stopping by today.
You bet. Thank you.
You can find out more about Vicki Hartzler when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, you'll see a way to join our effort to send a thermal baby hat to Nancy Pelosi's office as a way of showing your support for life. The goal is to send the speaker 90,000 baby hats. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener, replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet and share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. It looked like your typical reading class. Dozens of kindergarten students sat on the floor, but they were listening to transgender activist and staffer at the Human Rights Campaign, Sarah McBride, read a story about being transgender. Joining Tony Perkins to talk about the agenda to indoctrinate public school children is Kathy Roos, FRC's Senior Fellow and Director of Human Dignity.
Kathy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Kathy, we've talked about this before, but this is just more of the indoctrination that is beginning at the youngest ages. This was an effort, a team up of the Human Rights Campaign and I believe the National Education Association, putting this stuff into our schools and doing it in such a way that parents were really not alerted to what was happening and fully made aware of the options that they had?
No, and in fact, when the Washington Post reported this first, they crowed that parents had the right to opt out and no parent opted his child out of this story reading time. Well, the Post has quietly changed that part of their report because our affiliate, the Family Foundation of Virginia, gave a FOIA request to the principals at the school wanting to see the letter alerting parents. And indeed, the letter says nothing about parents' rights to opt out. It just says this is going to be happening. The other thing it doesn't say, Tony, is that the person reading to the kindergartners is a man who now identifies as a woman and calls himself Sarah. That was not revealed to the parents as well. Nor was it revealed that after the reading, Sarah was going to then talk to the children about how he, used to be a boy but now is a girl, and and when the children asked, why did you think that you were a boy? And he said, well, that's because society and the doctor and my parents all said I was. But later on, I was able to when I got a little bit older, I was able to say that I was really a girl and engage these kindergarten kids. So none of this was told to the parents, and the parents were not told they had any sort of right to opt their kids out of this.
I mean, we're talking about five-year-olds, okay? I mean,
yeah.
And you talk about creating confusion. And, I mean, it does not take much to see the deceptive agenda that is behind this of trying to confuse children and lead them down a path that we know is very destructive.
Right. And here's the great irony. You know, a very tiny fraction of children will be confused about their sex at some point in their young life. Very tiny fraction. If these kids are allowed to develop and go through puberty naturally, up to 98% of them will grow out of this.
Right.
But when schools like Ashland and HRC and the NEA, all of whom have an agenda, when they start heaping affirmation on these kids that your confusion isn't confusion after all, it's these activists that will be literally trapping these kids in the wrong body by doing this to them. If these kids are left to their own healthy growth, they're going to grow out of it. 98% of them. So these activists have a lot on to answer for. I just want to say one other thing, Tony, about the Virginia Family Foundation has really been doggedly pursuing this school, and I'm so grateful that they are. They were able also to find out that some of these little children are from homes where English is a second language, but the notice sent to parents was only sent in English. So some of these families, who may be immigrant families, had no idea possibly that this was going on, no notice, much less the ability to opt their kids out. So it's a racket, it's indoctrination.
So how has the school responded to the facts that have been raised now that they did not adequately apprise the parents of their rights to opt their students out?
There's been nothing in the way of an apology or a backtracking. They say everybody knew, and they're sticking to it. They're proud of this, apparently. And, they're not backing down at all, as far as I can tell, yet.
I mean, the American College of Pediatricians, they warn that, quote, when an otherwise healthy biological boy believes he is a girl, or an otherwise healthy biological girl believes she is a boy, an objective psychological problem exists that lies in the mind, not the body, and it should be treated as such. They're doing the opposite with this messaging, that you were born this way. There's nothing that if you're born that way, you can't change it. I mean, this, as you said, this is nothing more than indoctrination. Before we run out of time here, Kathy, what do parents need to do to be aware of this and to fight back for the sake of their children?
Well, the parents can demand that their children be opted out of any of this kind of thing, even if the school doesn't tell them they have that right. Now, oftentimes, they're not going to find out in advance, and then they're going to have to just repair the damage. But if I were a parent with kids in public schools currently, I would be literally every week calling the school, demanding to know everything that's going to be happening that week in advance. I mean, make yourself a pest. It's the only way to protect your kids. You do have the legal right in most states to opt your kids out of things, but you're going to have to search for what's going to happen. The school's not going to tell you.
Yeah. And you know what? You got to stand up and be, you know, like my wife has this T-shirt that says the mama bear. You got to be a mama bear and fight for your cubs. Kathy Roos, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for all you do.
Oh, thank you, Tony.
You can find out more about Kathy Roos when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, you'll see a link to our upcoming Alaska cruise. Spend time enjoying the amazing Alaska coastline while hearing from some of your favorite Washington Watch guests, like Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, and of course, Tony Perkins. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
On the day of a baby's birth, the first article placed on the baby is a thermal hat with blue and pink stripes. That's our hope for every baby. But there are no federal laws in place to protect all babies born alive from being killed outside the womb. To show your support for the life of all babies born alive, visit endbirthdayabortion.com. For a donation of $9, we'll deliver one baby hat on your behalf to U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to send a powerful reminder that babies should be welcomed with warmth.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. An Ohio high school student is speaking out after she received a suspension for posting notes with Bible verses on walls and lockers in her school. It was a response to a collection of so-called pride flags that decorated the hallways. In a video posted to Facebook on March 8th, Gabby Helsinger explained why she did it, and after the clip, we'll hear from Tony Perkins.
I felt the need to write down some Bible verses so I could put them around my school. I put them around my lockers, walls.
Now, the teachers, they took them down, accused her of targeting the Gay Straight Alliance Club members, and gave her an in-school suspension. Now, here Gabby herself explains her motivation. Play clip number two.
I seen that there was people in my school that needed help. They don't need to be living in the confusion of wondering if they should be gay, bi, lesbian, trans, anything like that. I know that God is the only way that they can be healed by that. That's why I did it.
Now, part of the reason that Gabby and her mother, Tina, who also spoke out on Facebook, you know, are bold and clear about their faith and willing to share their faith and not hide it, you know, you always, when you see that, you have to, I always ask myself, I said, I wonder what church they're a part of. Who's been discipling them? Who has taught them and challenged them to be bold in their faith? Well, I got my answer. Pastor Lawrence Bishop of Solid Rock Church in Monroe, Ohio, and he joins us now. Pastor Bishop, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, sir. Glad to be here.
Now, I understand that when you were a young man, you traveled with Professional Cowboy Rodeo Association, so this isn't your first rodeo, right?
Right. That's right.
Let me ask you about this. Were you surprised that Gabby, number one, that she went to school, put Bible verses up at school? Did that surprise you?
No, because my wife, that was exactly what my wife did when my wife was in high school. My wife was the girl that would went to a public high school and wore a T-shirt that said abortion is homicide and stood against, and she went to a secular university and would stand up against the whole class that were, you know, anti-God, anti-creation, anti-marriage between a man and woman, anti-pro-life, everything the Bible's for, they're against. But so she would be the one that would stand up. You know, if you've seen the movie God's Not Dead, that right. was my wife. She was doing that. So that's the kind of way we do it. We believe that if you're a man of God or a woman of God, you have to know what you're for and know what you're against. Every great person, I challenge any pastor, look in the Bible to any great man of God, any champion of God. They knew not only what they were for, but they knew what they were against. And it just breaks my heart to see pastors and some of the biggest ones in the nation that are stone silent about abortion, late term, or, sorry about that, I'm loading some bulls on a trailer, and that was one that just spoke up. Hope you didn't hear that. But anyway, they're silent on abortion, silent on gay marriage, silent on everything except the happy parts of the Bible because they're afraid they're going to lose somebody. I tell you what, it is time pastors stand up for what is right and stand against what is wrong. Now, look how far we've come. When I was in high school in 1984, a kid wore a shirt to school that said gay is okay, and they made him go home and change his shirt because according to the Word of God, and this is a Christian nation, gay is not okay. It is something that, yes, we love the homosexual, but the Bible is very clear on the sin of homosexuality. And to show you how far we've come, this guy nearly got suspended if he didn't change his shirt. And now we're suspending righteousness and people that stand up for righteousness. And they're forcing us, it seems, or trying to force us to accept the perversion of homosexuality, even in our high schools.
I appreciate the fact that you're very clear about this and the challenge to other pastors, because I agree. I think we cannot be apologetic in terms of apologizing for the fact that there is transcendent truth when it comes to life, human sexuality. It is not our opinion. It is the Word of God, and either we follow Jesus and we follow the Word of God or we don't, regardless of what the world may embrace. And I think more pastors need to challenge their people, the people in their pews, the people that follow them, that are part of their flock, need to challenge them to be bold and courageous and also model it as the pastor.
Right. Right. Well, as goes the leader, you know, so will go the flock. And, you know, when they see the boldness and they know that you just don't talk it, but you walk it, you know, courage is contagious. And, you know, we believe that you know, and I would stand up during the election and everything, and I would say, hey, if you vote for people that are for killing babies and for gay marriage, you are no friend of the church, and you're no friend of mine. And, you know, you're trying to undo what I'm trying to do, and don't say you're one of us and come in and worship with us on Sunday when the house is packed and have your hands up and acting like you're one of us, and then you go in the voting booth and you are more loyal to your political party than you are the Word of God. You cannot be a bipolar Christian. And I always say, you know, I don't call myself a Democrat or a Republican. I call myself a Christian, and I have to vote according to the Bible. And I, you know, people say, well, I'm not a one-issue person. Well, that'd be like saying you don't hire a babysitter just because they may be a child killer. Oh, well, that's there are one issues that are deal breakers. And murder of children is definitely a deal breaker, and it should be for everyone that calls himself a Christian.
Yes, well, it's also a defining issue, because we've looked at this in, you know, my 25 years in public policy, and actually looked at voting records. If you find an elected official who is right on life, 95% of the time, roughly, they're going to be right on the other issues as well, because this is one of those defining issues. It's a recognition of the sanctity of human life, not because we assign it value, but because God assigns its value, because it is created in His image. Pastor Bishop, let me thank you for joining us, and thank you for the evidence of what we see even in your youth at your church, standing firm for the truth of God.
Praise God, y'all. Pray for Gabby, and let's do this thing till Jesus comes.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.